Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this day, we are invited to pull back the blinds just a bit and peer through the window to see what is in store for us. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that now we see only as in a mirror, as in a reflection, but then we will see face to face. In the epistle reading today, the Apostle John says that what we will be has not yet been revealed. And of course, in the first reading today, what is shown to us is what was described in the collect of the day as the unspeakable joys of those saints who have gone before us, who are already in heaven. And Jesus himself, our Lord in the Beatitudes in the gospel reading today, speaks of many future blessings. There is a lot that is in store for us. We have a lot to look forward to. And yet, that doesn't mean that we should just keep peering through the window and focus all of our attention on what we will receive. Because in fact, what we already have is as great as anything we could ever imagine. And in this regard, our Lord Jesus Christ also speaks on two occasions in the Beatitudes today of present blessings. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, it is a good thing to be spiritually poor, to recognize that of your own self, you have only sin, which in fact bars you from entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But recognizing instead that what you have of yourself counts for nothing. You are spiritually poor, but this is a good thing. You are blessed. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. How is this possible? Because you know who Jesus Christ is. You know that what he has accomplished is everything that you have not. He has lived in accordance with the eternal law of God and has, in fact, endured the punishment for not having done so. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Those who are blessed are those who mourn. The Bible, in fact, never tells Christians that they should not mourn. Just the opposite. That when our loved ones die, we should mourn. It is just that when we Christians are mourning the loss of our loved ones who died in the faith, we do so not as those without hope. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Just think of the comfort that you will receive when you also get to heaven and you are once again reunited with your loved ones who have already gone before you. Those who are blessed are those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Now, it's plain to see that as we look out at the world, that it seems that the powerful are the ones who control or rule the earth. But what Jesus is talking about here is something that is far greater than power. Blessed are the humble. They will inherit the earth. You see, the promise that God gave to his people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, of land, it never really was about the land of Canaan. It was always about the true promised land. And so, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. One of the many ways that God uses to describe his people, being in his eternal presence. Blessed are the humble, the ones who recognize that we bring nothing to the table. Just as our very life itself was a gift, nothing we produced, so with eternal life, we will be in the presence of God forever because of his promise. Those who are blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We spend so much time in our lives striving for the things of this world, and perhaps to the point that we forget about the things that are not of this world. Now, it's not that the things of this world are bad. In fact, they are good. God has created them. God has given them to us for our benefit. But they are ultimately things for only this life. They will not last. But righteousness, that is lasting. We need to be here each week. We need what can only be given by God through his holy word, through his holy sacraments. We need to be in the word of God each day, striving, as we so often do, for the things of this world, striving for the things that are not of this world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We will be filled, just as what we receive here in God's holy house, forgiveness and life and salvation. Those who are blessed are those who are merciful. They are pure in heart. They are those who work for the things that make for peace. Now, these three Beatitudes are not things that our Lord is laying upon us as if to say, now, if you do these things and you are this way, then you will be blessed. If that were the case, then it would not be a blessing at all. It would, in fact, be a hopeless cause. But in fact, what Jesus is describing here is life in him. We are Christians because we are in Christ. We have already been saved. We can no more do the things that he is talking about of our own power or will than we can save ourselves. It is because he has already saved us that we are able to be merciful. That is, when we are hurt by others, we do not seek to get what is right or what is fair or to exact revenge, but rather we show them the very same mercy that our God has shown to us. And yes, we will receive mercy from our gracious God. Those who are blessed are those who are pure in heart. We've already established that there is nothing good in here, but rather we now see in Christ with new eyes, and we are now able to see others as God sees them. And how does he see them? He sees them as people that he loves. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world to die for the sins of the world, for everyone. Living in Christ is living with pure motives, not seeking what we think that we deserve. And yes, we will be blessed as sons and daughters of God, also seeing others in the same way that God has created them, so that they too can be with him forever. And those who are blessed are those who work for the things of peace. Now, there's a lot of talk in this world among pretty much almost everybody, including non-Christians, about peace. But we can no more bring about peace in this life than we can bring about peace in our own personal lives. Working for those things that make for peace is recognizing that true peace comes about only through Christ. This is why he came in his atoning sacrifice on the cross. Peace with God has been restored. We are at peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. And in the same way, when there is turmoil in this world, we seek to do what is best for others in bringing them to this same knowledge of peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, the last two Beatitudes fly in the face of everything the world stands for, and our own sinful nature simply cannot bear it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now, if you do what is wrong, if you hurt others, then any consequences or punishment that you receive, that is what you deserve. But what if you do what is right and you are persecuted for it? What if in doing the right thing, people hate you and harm you? That just is not the way it should be. Our sinful nature cannot abide by that. But in fact, when we are persecuted because of righteousness, Jesus says that we are in a good place, that we are in fact blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus becomes even more pointed because he goes on to talk about this persecution. Blessed are you when others hate you and insult you and say all kinds of false things about you because of me. When people do this to us because of Christ, Jesus says that we are blessed. It looks just the opposite to the world, and frankly, it feels just the opposite to ourselves because of our sinful nature. How in the world are we in a good place when others revile us and treat us with contempt? But Jesus goes even further. He says, rejoice, be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. When you are persecuted, this is the time to rejoice, to be glad, to realize that you are blessed because your reward is great in heaven. Future blessings await. In the same way, Jesus said they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And where are they? Well, we can peek through the window and see where they are. They are before the throne of God and before the Lamb. But is this something we must wait for? Do we only receive eternal blessings once we die and get to heaven? No, in fact, let's look again at that description of the saints in heaven. They are before the throne of God. They are before the Lamb. And isn't that exactly what we have right here in this place, at this very altar? When we come to this altar, we are before the throne of God. We are before the Lamb of God. He is the one who has taken away the sin of the world. On the cross, he gave over his body into death. He shed his blood on the cross to atone for the sin of the world. In the Lamb's sacrament, we in fact have salvation. It is here. It is now. We don't need to wait for it. Now, it is true that when we gather around this altar, we are not experiencing the glory as the saints in heaven are, not in the fullness of its glory, but we are in fact celebrating it with them as we pray every week in the proper preface that we are with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. This is not something that we need to wait for. We should long for the time when we, and we do, when we will experience this in the fullness of its glory. But even now, we have salvation. We have eternal, we have forgiveness of sins. As it will be, so it is now. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.